The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What will it be like for you to face Deontay, and what challenge does he present for you guys?
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. He's not on a lot of their video, and so, you know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
Mike Tomlin on Deontay Johnson. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And we are now joined by Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, our Steelers insider. And he's brought to us by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Wonderful, I'd
awesome.
Say. We were talking about the best TV dads before you came on. Who do you think is the best TV dad?
Oh, Ward Cleaver, Mike Brady. I'm showing my age here.
Oh, but, the Brady Bunch.
Leave It to Beaver.
Who else? How about Alan Thicke from Growing Pains? That's a little more recent.
R.I.P. And now I'm sad. All right, Ray, on to the football. How'd you take those comments from Mike Tomlin on Deontay Johnson? Do you think he was just being honest? Do you think there's a shot there? How'd you read him?
No, I mean, I was in the room. I didn't think twice about it, and I know it was all over social media a couple hours later. To me, that's just how Mike talks. I mean, I think he's being honest. Deontay has been there for 2 weeks, hasn't really done much. I don't think he has a catch. He might have a couple of targets, but when you got to worry about Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, you know, I kind of get where Mike's coming from.
Ray, I mean, you just said it right there. They have a plethora of skilled players to break open a football game, and Lamar Jackson has been more of a pocket passer and has been elite doing that. He's been throwing the football very well. Whenever you think of that and having to slow Lamar Jackson down and you want to operate where he doesn't throw the ball as much or doesn't have any production in the passing game and slow that down, what do you think that they'll do at the corner spot if Dante Jackson can't go? Could they move Cam Sutton out there? Is Pierre going to be out there? What do you think the best route for them to go is at the corner?
In game, they kept Pierre out there when Jackson went out late. So I think might be a little bit of a different story when you have a full week to prepare. And I also think, you know, Cam Sutton's first week back, I don't know that they wanted to put a ton on his plate. You know, I got the question yesterday, why didn't Cam go out there? He's been practicing for the last 2 months. No, he hasn't been. He only practiced for 1 week. He was allowed in the building to train. He was allowed to go to meetings, but he hadn't been practicing. So, you know, I think it could be Cam if that happens. But again, yesterday Mike said that Jackson could be limited early in the week, but he did expect him to be out there on Sunday. But no matter who's out there, guys, it's going to be a challenge. Zay Flowers is really good. So they're going to need all hands on board. You know, Sutton, Beanie Bishop, all those guys are going to have a role trying to shut down that passing game.
The way I heard it, it sounds like Nick Herbig's going to go this week if all things go according to plan. Who do you think the Steelers will play more, though, Ray? Preston Smith or Nick Herbig?
Yeah, I mean, I asked Mike yesterday if he's going to be on a pitch count, and he really couldn't give me an answer just because Nick really hasn't done much in the last month or so. So I would imagine that they're not going to want to play Herbig a lot. So that tells me that Preston Smith is probably going to start. But, you know, ideally, I think you have Jeremiah Moon playing 7 or 10 snaps a game. Preston Smith probably playing, I don't know, 65-70% of the snaps, and then hopefully Herbig can fill in with 30 or 35% in pass rushing situations. I mean, that's why this Preston Smith acquisition was so key. I mean, he's a good overall player, but he's a bigger guy. He could set the edge. And then I think if you could ask Nick Herbig to come off the edge as a pass rusher, you know, second and long, third and long, assuming he's close to 100%, I think that might be the way to go this week.
Ray, my intuition is telling me that this might be the game, this might be the week where we see a package for Justin Fields. What say you?
Yeah, I was thinking about that during the Commanders game because everyone just remembers that last drive and, you know, Russ hitting Mike Williams, but he was off for a lot of that game, 14 for 28. I know it was a little bit windy down there, but it just didn't seem like he was on the same page with his receivers, especially with the deep ball. Until he connected on that last one. So I was thinking, okay, maybe they're going to debut it here against the Commanders. They didn't do that. I'm with you. I think it's in certain situations you want to do that, but I'm still not taking Russ off the field a lot. You know, I think it really has to be calculated. Goal to go situations, maybe at some point short yardage situations if you need a first down. But to me, Russ is a guy that loves to be out there all the time. I don't want to think you disrupt his rhythm all that much. But I agree. I think I was thinking about it during the Commanders game, and I think with an extra week here to prepare for a good opponent, maybe we do see it this week.
Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette Steelers Insider joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. What do you see Mike Williams' role growing into this week?
I think a few more snaps. He had 9 in this past game. And I think that's tough coming in and just practicing for 3 days. I think with a full week, I think he'll probably get up to about, 15, 20 snaps. I think the way you use him is exactly the way you used him against the Commanders. You know, the Ravens do not have a great secondary. They've been struggling. According to Mike and everyone in that locker room, if Calvin Austin was on the field, and we still don't know if he was injured or if they subbed him out, but that was a route that Calvin Austin ran all week. I don't know about you guys. Calvin Austin being a smaller target, I don't think he makes that catch a lot of the times. And you put Mike Williams out there, I think that's got a really good percentage of connecting with Russ in that situation, given his size. So I think you pick and choose, but I think we'll see his role grow slowly over the rest of the season, and I would expect him to get a few more targets as well.
Ray, 30,000-foot view of the rest of the Steelers season. Is this a must-win game, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's big because it's at home, but home field advantage hasn't meant a lot in this series over the years. So, I wouldn't say it's a must-win, but when you talk about wanting to win the division, shot at a home playoff game, this is a huge game. And this is a huge stress for the Steelers. You know, you got 3 division games in a row. I'm still not counting out the Bengals. I think they're going to, make some noise here. So this stretch here coming up, I know the entire back half of the schedule is really difficult, but these next 3 games, all division opponents, if you can get 2 out of 3, I think the Steelers will be feeling good about themselves. So, it's a big game, Doran, but there's 7 more after this one, and I think they'd have a chance to make up some ground if they did drop it.
Ray, the last 7 Steelers games, we were looking at the scores yesterday, all of them 1-score games, all lower scoring games, and it almost seems like regardless of the state of the 2 teams coming in, there's this self-fulfilling prophecy that it's going to be a dogfight and a rock fight. Do you think that this one will be like that, or do you think we're going to see some fireworks in this game, some points?
I think we might see some fireworks, but these two teams know each other really well. They know the tendencies. Steelers have done a really good job of defending Lamar Jackson over the years. You know, this could be a game where if the Steelers' run game is going, and I know it's a difficult ask because the Ravens are really good against the run, but if it's going, you could see a scenario develop where, you know, the Steelers are possessing the ball and Lamar Jackson's possessions are limited. But the Ravens are so good offensively, and the Steelers have been really good offensively since Russ took over. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a similar score to what we saw last week, you know, 28-27, 31-28, you know, something like that. These two offenses are playing really, really good right now. And I know the Steelers make their money on defense, but to me, they're going to have to score in the mid-20s or high 20s to win this football game.
Ray, very good. Look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for jumping on with us, as always.
All right, guys. See you.
Read him in Post-Gazette. Ray Fittipaldi, great guy. Great dad. Best TV dads we were talking about.
He threw out the Brady Bunch.
I love that show, the Brady Bunch. It was on Nick at Night, too.
It was on Nick at Night.
All the time. They had the AstroTurf in the backyard.
Yes.
Fake grass.
Yeah. She got hit in the nose with a football.
Oh, my nose. Yeah. Oh, my nose. Oh, my nose.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Brady's balls
Marcia.
Dropped. Yeah, Marcia. Watch the Brady Bunch movie.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
It's like nice 90s. It fits in that 90s like movie.
Yeah, super campy.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Rob Lowe the bad guy?
Yes. No, I think that was Wayne's World.
There was I think I saw, was he? You know what? I think there was a Brady Bunch spoof movie in which he was the bad guy. Look that up during the break, or I will. I don't know why I'm giving you orders over there. I'm going to look that up during the break. Someone texts in, no mention of Al Bundy. This really upsets me. Hell of a TV character. Also, I feel like a lot of people in their 50s and 60s now base their entire personalities off of trying to be Al Bundy. Al Bundy was not a good dad.
He was a horrible dad.
He was a lecherous snake, this guy's looking cleavage. He was a nasty guy.
Terrible dad.
Yeah. Great character.
Yes.
Bad dad. No good dad. Would not have wanted him to be my dad, no. Al Bundy. You can continue commenting on that on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Or on the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Okay, Mike Tomlin commented on playing all these division games in succession. We'll hear what he had to say. We'll react coming.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up next,
unique nature of not seeing the Ravens or any divisional opponent up until now at this point in the schedule. But, you know, now that you've got Russ worked in, the rookie offensive lineman worked in, the trade acquisitions are here. Do you feel like this has actually been beneficial for your team to now get the North with your team fully in place like this?
You know I don't care. I'll play them whenever they schedule us. We got no control over the schedule. Our goal is to beat everybody. But specifically, week to week, we get singularly focused on this week's opponent. I'd be making it up if I told you I cared about the schedule or when we face people. I don't.
All right, let's get into that coming up in a moment here. I'd like to apologize Rob Lowe absolutely was not in the Brady Bunch movie.
Nope.
I don't know why I put him in there. I don't even know who I'm thinking of.
You're thinking of Rob Lowe and Wayne's World, because Wayne's World and Brady Bunch, they have a lot of crossover characters.
By God, I think you're right. Because you go, oh, you're thinking of Wayne's World. I'm like, I know Rob Lowe's in Wayne's World, and then now that I think about it.
Or Tommy Boy.
Love that movie. My wife's all-time favorite movie.
He was the bad guy in that.
Yes. Great bad guy in that.
He married Bo Derek.
Yeah, and he starts making out with her, and it's like, whoa, what's going on here?
Supposed to be her son, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Someone texted in, Bryan Cranston in Malcolm in the Middle was a good TV dad. He was very funny in that.
I heard a theory about that show.
Please tell me.
That Bryan Cranston was like put in witness protection, and that's his new family from Breaking Bad.
I would argue that Walter White was a great TV dad from Breaking Bad, because he went through all that trouble to make all that money to provide for his family, even despite being a school teacher with cancer.
Yes.
Now, then he fell in love with it and he broke bad.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe not.
He was trying to do right.
He was trying to do right, and then he got caught up in the game. And then he became the man who knocked.
Mm-hmm.
What a show.
Heisenberg. You're damn right.
One of the all-time great anti-heroes of all time.
Yes.
I love that genre. I love like rooting for Tony Soprano, even though he's so just abhorrent as a human being. But I digress. I feel like Tim Benz, who asked that question to Tomlin, I'm not sure he was listening to our show, but the way he asked it, it was basically trying to get Tomlin to buy into the argument that you made last week. We have talked so long, for so long, about the second half of the season schedule and six division games and eight out of your final eight games and four in a row. And my God, that's hard. And your argument last week was, this actually sets up well because you are who you want to be now. And if you'd have played these division teams earlier in the season, you'd have been doing so with Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And Justin wasn't bad. He went 4-2. Would he have gone 4-2? If you were playing the Ravens once and the Bengals once.
Or, yeah, would it be still 4-2, but you lose to those two teams?
Right.
Those are the two losses.
And now you're in a bad spot. But you wait, and you had the injury, and then you did want to see what Justin had to give you. Dulac reported he was healthy for a couple of weeks before they ultimately let him play football for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now you got Russ, and you're scoring 30 points a game with him. This is, I think, the perfect time to play all these division opponents.
Mm-hmm.
You are playing, I think the Steelers, man, are playing the best football they've played probably since 2018.
Yeah.
Like, since Ben was healthy at the height of his powers, that team, they were 9-7-1, or 9-6-1, math. Yeah, back then they played 16 games. I thought that team could have won the Super Bowl had they got in the playoffs. I thought they were that good. That offense was really good. They lost to the Saints. They got job. I think this is the best stretch of Steelers football they've been playing since that point. And so you take your swings against the Ravens, and you go on the road, and you should take advantage of the Cleveland Browns, and you are better than the Cincinnati Bengals. But would you have been earlier with Justin Fields? Probably not, because you weren't as good of a football team.
You were just so, not one-dimensional, but you were just, it was, you knew what you had and what you wanted to do, and there wasn't any room for real offensive growth, I think, with Justin Fields. Like, you knew you could get by and win some games, but you couldn't really open up the offense like you are now with him yet. Like, I'm not saying that he can't be that guy in the future, but you just knew what the offense was going to be with Justin Fields. Now it can get better.
Could they have scored 30 to beat the Ravens? Sure. We saw some really good moments out of Justin Fields against the Chargers in the second half against Indianapolis. He had his moments, and he played the quarterback position at a higher level than we've seen since Ben. But I feel a lot better about if Baltimore was up in here early in the year scoring 30, if Russell Wilson's in there, mm-hmm, going toe for toe, tit for tat. Not to mention there's a selfish element of this now. Like, you're 7-2, they're 7-3. If you're both 2-1 or something like that, it just feels bigger. And what is sports? It's entertainment. And you got Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Cleveland again. And you got Hard Knocks coming in. I like the way it's all set up for the Steelers. The only thing, and the thing that I've argued for the longest time that I don't like about this is, if you lose a guy for one Ravens game, you may well have him out for two.
Mm-hmm.
You lose a guy for one division game, you might have him out for two. And so I like, ideally, division games to be spread out so injury doesn't play as much of a role, even though it has in recent years. Now, if you lose, name the player, I don't want to name one, against Baltimore, you're not going to have him probably for Cincinnati in a couple of weeks. So mm-hmm. you don't like that because mm-hmm. the division games just mean that much more. I think they have to go 4-2, though. Like, splitting isn't good enough. You got to sweep Cleveland at the very least. And then if you split the other two, there's 11 wins without even having to factor Kansas City or Philadelphia into that. Like, I think it might even be bare minimum you got to go 4-2. Especially because
I think they can.
I think so. And I think the goal now is the division. Like, coming into the year, make the playoffs, win a playoff game. Now, you have to win the division. Go win the division. And you're not going to do that if you go 3-3, I don't think.
And you have to win Sunday. Because, I mean, the chances are so much larger whenever you do have to go to Baltimore to try to win that game. So I think that there's a lot that rides on Sunday's game.
Ray's right. Like, it is. Like, we've seen these teams win at the other team's place. But I think that you have a much better chance of slowing the Ravens down offensively at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree with you. If you want to win the division, you got to get this one.
Got to.
Texter, Peter Griffin, good TV dad. We were talking about him off the air.
Yeah. He was good to
Stewie and the other dopey kid.
Yeah, what's it? Chris?
Yeah, Chris. He was not a great dad to Meg. And actually, I don't know if he's a great. No, he's a terrible dad.
Yeah, he's not that great.
Stewie's trying to take over the world and like shoot nukes and stuff.
Yes, he's always down at the drunken clam.
Yeah, he's getting hammered
every day.
Going to Patriots games and Red Sox games, the Paw Sox. I mean, no, totally a neglected father. I mean, he's letting Chris hang out with the goofy pedophile two houses down.
Quagmire.
He lets Meg hang out with Quagmire, right. And he lets Chris hang out with the dude who's like, oh, reach into my pocket, here's a pickle. That guy. No, bad dad. Bad text. Get out of here.
Doesn't
Peter
take
Griffin.
Care of the dog.
No. No, Brian trying to get with his wife, Lois. He just
Brian's
no.
wild.
I think Brian is wild. Peter just out to lunch.
Yep.
He's hanging. Like, he's trying whatever. To do right by himself, make some toys on the side. That's a great show. That makes me laugh out loud more than, like, I think The Simpsons is brilliant. That show makes me laugh out loud probably more, though. Bigger pops, I would argue.
Yes.
All right. Enough TV dads. We'll end it on Peter
what
Griffin.
What about Homer? He's worse than Peter.
Yeah, because he'd beat the hell out of Bart.
He
would strangle him.
Right. He's worse than Peter.
Yeah, he was worse than Peter.
Different times, though.
Yeah, you could strangle your yellow kids back then. Like, if you, like...
back in the late 80s.
The thing I always loved about the Simpsons characters was that they were yellow, and then did they have hair?
I don't know.
Or did they just have spiky heads?
They had to have spiky heads because Marge had hair.
That's what I'm saying.
And
some people they would draw hair on, and the others you would just assume it's hair, but they just had spiky, goofy-looking heads.
Right.
Yeah.
Weird.
The animated dad's never nice because you could get away with things that you can't get away in like live action. Like if Phil Dunphy ever strangled his son, that show would be canceled, but you can throw a frying pan at your child and whenever you're drawing it instead. I'm petering out.
Yeah.
I got way too excited about all this. Okay, coming up next. Tomlin in his press conference talked about the teams knowing each other so well. So you always assume there will be a wrinkle or two. If the Ravens have a wrinkle, what is it? If the Steelers have a wrinkle, what is it? We'll talk about that coming up next. Going to go around the NFL in the next segment. NFL.com has published some playoff odds, Doran. And I think the Steelers' playoff percentage is noteworthy. And I want to tell you all about it. But first, Mike Tomlin yesterday at his press conference, these teams know each other so well, so what do you got to do?
There'll be a bunch of zigging and zagging on both sides. That's just the nature of this thing.
Has there been a bunch of zigging and zagging?
I think in Harbaugh and Tomlin's mind, there has been, but there hasn't been.
I think we've kind of known exactly what we're signing up to in Steelers-Ravens for a really long time.
Or maybe he's telling us something, that we think that this is the way the game's going to go, but we have something that we are going to throw out there, it's going to be totally different.
We're going to zag hard, baby.
Yep. Justin Fields.
That's what you've said, and I am inclined to agree with you. If the Steelers are going to try to zag or zig, whichever you prefer in this game, and everyone's talking about Russ and all the points Russ has put up, and the Steelers with Russ and Russ and Russ and Russ, and you haven't seen Justin Fields get on the field with Russ at quarterback, something they talked about right before the start of the season when Russ was the presumed starter before he got hurt. Yeah, I could see that. In fact, I think it's going to happen. I would set the line over under Justin Fields snaps in this one at 3.5.
Okay.
Would you take the over?
We'll do that Friday.
Odds and ends.
Yes.
There'll be a bunch of zigging and zagging on both sides. That's just the nature of this thing.
The 2003 game saw the Steelers score a touchdown on a fake punt. I can't really think of a lot of zigging by the Steelers. Please remind me, 412-928-9370. I mean, we've gone down memory lane a ton today on Steelers-Ravens, and I can't think of a ton of trickery. I'm sure someone will text something in and my mind will explode, and I'll be very embarrassed that I forgot about it. But I think they've just played straight up, and they've played 17-10 games the last two times they've played, and they played 16-14 and 16-13 before that. We got a 20-19 game in there, like, comes down to field goals and defense and hitting and just being a nasty little rock fight.
Mm-hmm. I think it comes down to, like, all right, like, whenever you're doing your research on a team and you know the how big this game is, you look at the film, and you don't just look at any film. You look at the film that you think that you identify with that the Ravens have played, and that's how you think that the Ravens are going to play you. So that's the film that you kind of get all your research from. And I don't know about the zigging and zagging, but it could look different on both sides. I don't know why, but I have a feeling that it might. I don't know if, like, sometimes Derrick Henry doesn't get started early. He finishes strong in games. Maybe
it could be a tendency thing.
Yeah.
Like, you think that we're going to do this, so we're going to do this, or right. you think we know, that kind of deal. Yeah, it doesn't have to be, oh, you ran a fake punt or a fake field goal or an end around or something like that. It could just be merely that. Yeah, exactly what you're saying. Oh, the Steelers on first downs, they run it 65% of the time. Well, just kidding, not today.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think if the Ravens are going to do anything, and we touched on this earlier, it would be, hey, this Deontay Johnson guy you're not paying attention to, we've only thrown him the ball, what, six times, and he's only got one catch. Maybe this is a game where you don't just spoon feed it to him. Maybe you put the tube down his throat and jam it.
On the Steelers side, if I were zagging, and I know, and I don't think that they've done this in the last three games, but I know that their weakness is their pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no huddling. I'm going fast, trying to get them thinking, trying to get them, you know, caught, not lined up, and just really get aggressive.
You know when they did it? They did that coming against the Giants.
Against the Giants, right?
Yeah. I would do a lot of that.
Yep. I'd do faster than they did against the Giants. They were moving, but I would just go.
It was
go,
more
go.
Muddle huddle kind
of. Yeah, I would go. I would. That's probably what maybe he's talking about.
Because I like that. Because Ray was talking about, hey, maybe you just want to run the ball, time of possession. Don't give Lamar Jackson a lot of, you know, time on the field. Don't give them a ton of possessions. I like your deal. Hey, we're coming out. We're coming out to score.
Yeah, I mean Tomlin has operated like that in the past couple games. Like, I think that we're getting a different Tomlin.
He's been aggressive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the fake punt being the most obvious example. I mean, even throwing them out on the field to try to draw them off sides at the end of the game. I don't think there's a ton of risk necessarily involved there, but I like that move from him.
There'll be a bunch of zigging and zagging on both sides. That's just the nature of this thing.
Someone texted in, Tomlin zigged when he should have zagged on the sideline in Baltimore on Thanksgiving that one year. The whole Jacoby Jones thing.
Yeah, he did that on purpose.
No way.
Are you serious?
There's no way he did that on purpose.
You don't think that Mike Tomlin knew that he was on the field and Jacoby Jones is about to run the kickoff return right next to him?
I really don't think he did that on purpose.
Wow.
He totally did that on purpose. 100%. He absolutely did. I don't know that he meant, like, before the play was like, hey, watch this. I'm going to go stand out there. But I think he was close. And then I think when he sees himself on the scoreboard, he's like, I ain't getting out of the way.
I think he was like, I'm not letting Jacoby return a kick.
So you think before the game, Tomlin's like, on one of these kickoffs, I'm going to go be the 12th defender out there.
Yeah, he saw where the ball was kicked. He saw where the ball was fielded. And he was like, okay, they're running the kickoff return right up the sidelines. I'm going to just kind of scoop my way out and act like I'm looking at Jumbotron. Like, oh, man, oops.
100%. The reason I know you're dead ass right is because it was such bad acting on Tomlin's part.
Right.
Oh!
He had his hands in his pockets and his jacket pockets. He's like, oh, let me just scoot out the way. Like, get out of here. Like, usually if you get surprised, you take your hands out of the pockets. You're like, oh, man, oh, whoa. No, he kept his hands in his pockets.
We might need to, on Friday, just go even more down memory lane for the best Steelers-Ravens moments, because there's some hilarious stuff. Some really funny stuff. Like, Joey Porter going on the bus will never not make me laugh. Like, Joey, you're a bad man, dude. And you got those dogs that kill horses and stuff, but, like, you're not going to beat up 53 Ravens and the entire coaching staff. Right. You crazy goof.
On the bus.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to do that. Zigging, zagging, things of that nature.
There'll be a bunch of zigging and zagging on both sides. That's just the nature of this thing.
All right, we're going to go around the NFL coming up next, give you the Steelers playoff odds as they sit today, and that is brought to us by Champ Tires, Pittsburgh trusted tire source since 2009. We are going around the NFL. It's also the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Before we look at some playoff percentages, Doran, Le'Veon Bell tweeted, if the Pittsburgh Steelers win the Super Bowl this year, three people who like and retweet this tweet will win $10,000. And somebody that we work with liked and retweeted it. And I don't want to put them on blast, but look, I could use, anybody could use an extra $10,000.
Yes.
I hovered over it, I'm not going to lie. I thought about it. I thought about the like and the retweet, getting the extra $10,000 there from Le'Veon Bell, but the embarrassment would have been too much for me.
So somebody we work with.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to ask you off air. Because you don't want to out them.
I'm hovering over that as well.
I can tell.
Let's look at the playoff. How do they put this? Playoff picture postseason probabilities. Wow, that's alliteration. The Chiefs, to the surprise of no one, have a 99% chance of making the playoffs. If they win, it's the same. If they lose, it's the same. They have a 76% chance, according to NFL.com, of being the number one seed in the AFC. Bills, 99% chance to make the playoffs. Texans at 97%. Ravens at 98%. Steelers at 94%. So because the Ravens are favored and expected, I guess, to beat the Steelers this weekend, that's why their odds would be higher. And because the Texans play in a garbage division, that's why theirs would be higher. If I had told you that the Steelers had a 94% chance of making the playoffs at any point coming into the year, I don't know that I would have had any believers out there.
Me neither, yeah. I wouldn't. Mm-mm.
If they beat the Ravens, it goes up to 98%, and the Ravens would go down to 95%. So there you go. If the Steelers happen to lose this game, just to play it out, 92%. And the NFL.com has the Steelers with a 4% chance of being the number one seed in the AFC. Now to the playoff picture. The Broncos, the seventh seed in the AFC right now, have a 52% chance of making the playoffs, a 61% chance if they win. They are playing the Atlanta Falcons this week. What a weekend we have coming our way, though.
Fantastic. You said it yesterday.
Oh, backyard basketball on Friday.
Yep.
Pitt Clemson Saturday.
Yep.
West Virginia Baylor at 4. That might only interest me.
Yep.
But some other great college football games.
Penn State Purdue.
Penn State, Purdue. Penn State should dog walk them. If they don't, they've got issues.
Yep.
Sunday, Dorenson. Steelers, Ravens at 1.
Mm-hmm.
At 4:25, you got Bills and Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals, Chargers, the night game. What a weekend.
It's great.
What a weekend.
It's fantastic.
All right, Now to the bottom of the pack in the AFC. People are probably curious about the Bengals. They have a 26% chance of making the playoffs right now. If they win against the Chargers, make it 37%. But with a loss, they're at 14. The Jets still alive. 15% chance to make the playoffs. Come on now. 22% chance if they win. Come on now. 3% chance. That's still too much if they lose. If I were to tell you that the seven playoff teams in the AFC right now will be the seven playoff teams come the end of the season, will you buy that or sell that?
Absolutely buy it.
I'm buying it too.
Absolutely buy it.
I think this is what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's all going to fall,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Texans, Ravens, Chargers, Broncos.
Yep.
I don't buy
maybe
into the Colts.
Maybe Broncos might slide out and somebody might slide up.
That would be the one for me, too. And I think the Bengals could slide up, but not if they lose on Sunday. I can't wait to watch that. That's an elimination game for the Bengals.
Huge one.
And just for bleeps and giggles, if the Chargers win the game, they'll have a 91% chance of making the playoffs. Yeah. I think it comes down to Broncos, Bengals.
Yep.
And there you go. We've gone around the NFL, and we're going to be joined by Doug Whaley, who's walking into the studio right now from 9 o'clock until 10. He's next. We'll talk about roster building for a difficult AFC North, among other things. First, though, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here. The Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com today. High of 56.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.